Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Sports Ethos Fantasy MLB Today podcast. I'm Nathan Baker. You'd have heard Anthony's episode yesterday. You'll hear Paul tomorrow. You can follow me at NBakerNGB on Twitter, or X, I suppose, nowadays. I answer questions there. You can also follow our at Ethos Fantasy BB account, where you'll see this podcast, in addition to all of our work on a daily basis, from pickup articles to feature pieces to weekly recaps. Today, of course, we'll talk about pitching streamers, particularly the ones for today, and then I'll go into more detail about some of my recommendations for guys to go for, some more risky picks, deeper league options, and then players you should avoid altogether. And we'll go into detail more there. But first, I want to thank our sponsor, BetOnline, for sponsoring this episode, as they do for all of them. BetOnline is your number one source for the NBA Finals and Stanley Cup Finals this season. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds, it spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of our over 150 slots games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use promo code BLEAV, that's promo code BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, the game starts here. So first I'll go through Anthony's streaming recommendations yesterday, which included Jake Irvin, David Peterson, Aaron Civale, and Slade Caccione. And he recommended to fade Braxton Garrett. And to give a quick opinion on that, I think he did a great job breaking down, particularly Irvin and Peterson. I am not the biggest Civale fan as of now, but in deeper leagues, he's not a bad option. And of course, Peterson still has concerns for rate stats, particularly as walks go. The strikeouts, I think, can come against a free-swinging Marlins team, and I do like the matchup. I recommended to fade Braxton Garrett. I very much can see where he's coming from and would agree with that, even as a Met fan who has very little faith in my own team. Brooke Garrett has struggled against the Mets in the past. He's really had a rough year with rough-looking peripherals overall, and is one that I'd recommend just given his product so far. It's a fade as well. So looking through all of these streaming options for Thursday, there were a few that stood out. The two best options, undeniably, are Mackenzie Gore and Luis Severino, who are both on the higher end of ownership percentages, but in both ESPN and Yahoo leagues, and per usual, significantly more owned than Yahoo. Than ESPN, particularly Gore, which puzzles me because for both Seve and Gore, particularly Gore, but really both of them should be owned in most 8-team or most formats as a whole. There really shouldn't be much where Gore and Seve aren't rostered, especially Gore for redraft purposes. People still forget he's only 25, obviously debuted a few years ago for the Padres, and was sent over as part of the massive Juan Soto compensation. But Gore still has some of the best stuff, particularly that four-seamer, and, of course, has a great slider as well that he's paired it with. But regardless, I want to talk about those two, particularly because of the matchups that they have, which are very favorable, in addition to the fact that they're simply the best pitchers that fit within our threshold, that are under our 65% mark on Yahoo or on ESPN under our 25% mark, which is a bit more arbitrary. We generally use Yahoo as our threshold. But Mac is facing the Tigers, and the Tigers have been pretty inconsistent offensively. I made a couple of roster changes to accommodate for the injury of Javi Baez, who will be on the shelf for a few weeks at least. But Well, I like Detroit's left-handed platoon lineup. A lot of their everyday guys have not hit well against lefties that throw as hard as Gore. Of course, you have to remember, Gore averages 96.5 on that four-seamer. It's one of the highest value fastballs from a lefty, let alone a young lefty, in baseball. So when you consider his stuff profile, that is pretty unique. Now, in terms of Tiger track record against Gore, it's okay. It's not great. It's not terrible. Some of the Tiger hitters have done reasonably well. Of course, given that his pitch profile hasn't changed that much, it's a pretty good indicator. But I think this could be one where he's an ad and maybe a continued ad for a while. Luis Severino is the other one. And I love this for a series of reasons. One, that Sevy has particularly great numbers against a number of Miami Marlins hitters. And, you know, if you look at the Marlins lineup as a whole, only has an xWOBA of 310 against Severino in the past, a really low average exit fee, low 87.7, which would easily be in the bottom 10. Percentile if it were to be ranked as a pitcher against every opposition, although of course this is just against the Marlins, which with all due respect are not exactly filled with the game's elite hitters. But that's again the other reason why I love Severino is it's a poor offensive ball club against lefties, against righties, against hard throwers, against soft tossers. The Marlins just don't score many runs, and Severino's pitched very well this year for the Mets. Been a bit fortunate on a couple of counts. Definitely not getting the whiff that he's used to. Pitching a little bit more to contact. The strikeouts are way down compared to prior years. Certainly, if you look at the prime version of Severino. But he's getting ground balls. He's getting soft contact. He's staying off barrels. He's still throwing hard enough. Against Miami, this is a pretty slam dunk option. So Gore and Sevy as your two priority options. And if you're in a larger, more expansive leagues where those aren't options, Brandon Pfaadt is probably your next best bet. Pfaadt I like against the Angels for many of the same reasons that Anthony likes right-handed pitchers against the Angels, which is that they just don't hit right-handed pitching, or quite frankly, any pitching, but particularly right-handed pitching that well. It makes it a pretty easy pick. Pfaadt has much better peripherals than his numbers on the surface would indicate. His expected ERA is over 1.5 less than his ERA. And especially when you look at the fact that his walk rates improve so drastically, his command comes and goes. He does make mistakes over the middle of the plate. They're working on that with him, particularly with that slurve, sweeper, breaking ball that he has that's impressed so mightily. But he's got to be more consistent with that. We know that. But I don't think the Angels are the team that's likely to punish him the most. I will put an asterisk there. Whenever you have a pitcher that has that level of volatility and control, you do have to worry about home run risk, even against a lesser team. And that's why I would put Pfaadt below other pitchers. I wouldn't put him below Taj Bradley, partially because Bradley himself has an even greater home run risk and has had real issues staying off the barrel so far. And of course is facing a better offensive ball club within the Cubs. Now, of course, pitching at Wrigley Field it's at Tropicana. His numbers against Cubs hitters are very limited. So I'm less focused on that. I am worried about him with a couple matchups, particularly Christopher Morel. I really worry about. Bradley likes to throw his fastball. He throws hard. His fastball does have some questionable traits in terms of its value. And there are few hitters in the league that love hitting fastballs, especially decent velocity, not great shape fastballs, more than Christopher Morel. So that would be a matchup that maybe if I was a Morel owner, I'd be more excited about. And if I was looking to stream a pitcher, I'd be more worried about Taj Bradley there. But I take him over a couple of other options. Cole Irvin and Lance Lynn, I think, if you're desperate, aren't bad. Neither are particularly inspiring options. I like the matchup for Cole Irvin. You know, with all due respect to the pitcher, I don't have the most belief in him from a fantasy output perspective, but Atlanta has just been dormant, and it's weird suggesting a pitcher to be added as a streamer against the Braves, but that's where we are right now. And of course, I would not be surprised in the slightest if they it's a sleeping giant. They'll wake up at any one point, and some pitchers will pay dearly for their slumber thus far. But Lance Lynn, Michael Lorenzen, guys where the matchup isn't quite as good. Lance Lynn against the Pirates isn't a horrible one, but I certainly would not be a priority over the others. Lorenzen I like as a pitcher. I certainly would not recommend any pitcher against the Dodgers lineup at this point. Other easy fades, Alec Marsh against the Yankees, especially the way that their big guns are swinging the bat. Very, very easy fade. The ones who I want to talk about the most, and the reason I'd like to talk about these three guys is because I see a lot of discussion around them. The biggest one was Luis Medina, who I like as a pitcher. This is just not the right time for him. And this is, you know, if we're talking about longer term aspirations, the fact that Oakland's going to give him chances, the fact that he has a lot of ability as a pitcher, I like him in that respect. I don't like the matchup against the Twins. Minnesota has the bats to hit him hard really are in under the radar offensive powerhouse and have put some real crooked numbers on some similar pitchers. So Medina is an easy swerve. Casey Mize has some risk. He really hasn't shown much. Washington are inconsistent offensively. I would only do that if you're desperate. Griffin Canning is the other one that I'll mention. And the last one that I'll mention, he's got the great changeup. We know that. Outside of that, against Arizona in the desert, I would be wary of that. Canning has high start potential. He has a really low floor. I prefer him over Medina, but he is in that Casey Mize tier of really should be swerved at most costs. Over to just to summarize quickly, I like Gore and Seve the most. If those two aren't available and you need a starter, Brandon Pfaadt looks pretty good as well, although there's some risk there. Taj Bradley is probably on the next rung down. If you need Lance Lynn for some consistency, the innings, of course, are going to be better than most of the younger pitchers. That's a nice option. Cole Irvin, I would probably avoid. Same with Griffin Canning and Casey Mize, and Luis Medina would be the hard avoid in his matchup against the Yankees. So I just want to thank everyone for tuning in and for the support and messages that I've received over the last couple of days, both from my pickup articles, which you'll see on Thursday, or feature pieces, which I started with my piece on Brent Rooker on Friday. You can send me a message at NBakerNGB on Twitter, where I'll generally respond to DMs, or if you find a tweet of relevance, to go for that as well, or X, Z, I suppose the name is. Love to talk about baseball. Maybe interested or annoyed, who knows, about some of my soccer work as well. So some people find that amusing. Some people find it confusing. The John Duran I'm talking about over the past day is not the Minnesota Twins fireballer. It is the Colombian striker with a lot of transfer speculation. Spelled differently, not misspelling it, even though I will for other names, so feel free to call me out. But, yeah, go ahead and drop me a follow. Of course, drop the Sports Ethos Fantasy Baseball account a follow. And drop Paul and Anthony a follow, of course, doing the podcast, really steering it. And I'm just keeping the rudder straight for one day a week on Wednesdays. So I want to thank Bet Online for sponsoring this episode. I want to thank everyone else for tuning in, and I will see you guys next week. Thanks very much.